Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, today we're going to talk about who you are. Let's get started. You know, there are eight men who were named or renamed by God in the Bible, and each one became the identity described in the name. And each one's name spoke of a relationship with or truth about God. You know, this concept of identity is important because who we believe that we are influences highly how we live and what we believe. It's not a matter of a name tag or on a lapel or a sticker on a shirt. So who are you? Well, here are the eight that God named or renamed. Let's look at them quickly. First, he created the male and female and blessed them and called them Adam, which means mankind, in the day they were created. That's Genesis 5:2. Next, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, means father of a great multitude. For I have made you a father of many nations. That's Genesis 17:5. Next, then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. That's Genesis 17:9. By the way, Isaac means laughter. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, which means one who wrestles or struggles with God. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. That's Genesis 32:28. Next, behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, which means peace, for I will give him peace and quietness to Israel in his days. 1 Chronicles 22:9. Next, and I also say to you that you are Peter, meaning rock or stone, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. Next, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, which means God is gracious. That's from Luke 1:13. And the last one, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, meaning God saves, or the Lord is salvation. That's Luke 1:31. Now, typically, we get an identity or name soon after we are born, but that name doesn't necessarily identify us. That's what we put on the name tag or sticker, but it's not who we are. So, who are you? If you are not born again in Christ, you will identify with that name tag or sticker label because you think you are your flesh. Or if you're religious, you think you are your flesh and your soul. Well, most people in your church think this way because even if you've heard the sermons and sang the songs, you think of God as being up there or someone we follow or who we invite to be a part of what we do. When that is the case, we think of God, Jesus, His Holy Spirit, as separate. However, when we are truly born again, or as some say, new creatures in Christ, that perception is simply not true. Our Lord is not separate, not up there or out there. Not someone we need to keep up with or else we'll lag behind. Rather, he's in you, and you are in him. Salvation brings a perfect unity in the Spirit. Here's a couple of verses. Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Furthermore, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Great verses. John 14. "So no longer are you separate from the Almighty, identified by that dead corpse, your flesh, but you're a part of God's family, children, and part of the glorious bride of his Son. And there is even more to your identity, for God made us to be, in his words, in his image and likeness." That's Genesis 1:26. "And in order for that to be fulfilled, your identity includes a glorious two-part transformation." Two parts? Yeah. First, in Jesus, you are complete spiritually. You are one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." And thus the Father sees you as holy and blameless because he sees Jesus. "He chose us in him," the Bible says, "before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love." It's Ephesians 1:4. And this transformation is complete, perfect spiritually. For in Christ, you are spotless, sinless, just as he is. But second, being made to have his image and likeness, there is more transformation to take place, which indeed may happen suddenly, that even in the blink of an eye, as Paul wrote, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." That's Philippians 3. "Behold, I tell you a mystery," he says. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." 1 Corinthians 15. Now, that's suddenly, and or could be gradually. Again, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror," well, who do you see in a mirror? "The glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." So, who are you? When you listen to our mutual enemy and identify with your body, your flesh, with a name label, the tag that you have, perhaps, even though you're born again, you'll be plagued by the pernicious sin nature of your body. And like the dear Apostle Paul, when he bemoaned, he said in Romans 7, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." And he said also, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." Again, Romans 7. "For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, that's the flesh, warring against the law of my mind or the inner man, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Again, Romans 7. Paul clearly recognized this identity problem and summarized that the only hope for peace in his mind or inner man was to trust totally in Jesus, which is what he preached. In Colossians 1, he said, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man complete or perfect in Christ Jesus." So let me encourage you. If you are indeed born again in Christ, don't identify with that dead, stinking corpse you drag around, called by whatever name is on the tag, but realize Christ, by his Spirit, is in you. Identify with him. Don't try to impress him with how good you are or how fruitful you are or anything about you. In him, your inner man, you are perfect. You are clean. You are justified. And one day soon, you'll be glorified. Your transformation into his image and likeness will be forever. He does it, friend, not you. Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.